a filmmaker and told him, I'd like to share as much as I can. And we made arrangements and went down to the studio and told him the story and never expected the kind of response that happened from the story. My experience was very similar probably to several other people that had passed away. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share what happened with you. But first of all, Martin asked me to tell you a little bit about my background, just a little bit. I played a lot of sports as I was growing up. I learned a lot about pain, because you have to learn how to play through pain when you're playing sports. I had the opportunity to serve in the military. I was one of the lucky ones. My draft number was 16, so I was part of the Vietnam wartime. I was very fortunate. I did not have to go to Vietnam because of a gift that I had of playing basketball. When I got married, you know, like many of us, we have a desire to make money to take care of our families. And it's something that was put in my heart when I was a young boy, was when I get married, I take care of my family. And so at the time when before this incident, I was working out of town a lot. I worked for the government.
Scott?
Yes.
We don't have a sound system here because of the feedback. Well, and that's turned off. Just speak loudly.
All right.
Yell at these people. Okay. You've been in the military. You can do it.
Sorry about that. My wife said I talk soft quite a bit, and I'll try to speak up. If you can't hear me, please raise your hand, and I'll...
You might want to move forward, too, if you can't hear me.
Can you hear okay? All right. Anyway, when I was first married, after I was going to school, going to college, playing baseball for the college, and prior to that, I was playing professional basketball over in Europe. And it was, I learned how to deal with pain. So when the time happened, when I had my experience, it humbled me. You know, we're always trying to get ahead. We're always trying to make enough money to take care of our families. And at the time working for the government, I was out of town a lot. And what I mean by that is 3 out of 4 weeks I was traveling, working. One weekend I came home. It was at Christmas time, and I decided on my own to go skiing. I love to ski. It was something that I grew up with. I love it. And I went up to Park City with a friend of mine, and we went skiing for the day. We had a ball. It was one of the funnest experiences I had growing up is skiing, making those turns and enjoying the people that you're around while you're skiing and trying new things. And I was standing in the lift line, something that everybody does after they make the run. And a young lady came down the ski slope with her poles going every which way and ran into us in the ski lift line. Well, we picked her up and we brushed her off and we got her back on her feet, and she got back in the lift line and she was going to do it again. Well, I skied the rest of the day and had a ball. At the end of the day, I went down to the car and we were talking about how much fun we had skiing, and we were putting away our skis and taking off all of our ski equipment, getting ready to come home. And I took my glove off and my thumb was hanging straight down. It had pulled out of the socket when the young lady ran into me. Well, it was cold, so I didn't feel it. But what happened is I got in a warm car and all of a sudden I started feeling pain. And I don't know if you've ever had something go wrong with your body where it was it puts a shock in it and your stomach starts to not feel too good. And I knew something was wrong. I called my wife on the way down and she made arrangements to call the hospital and get a doctor ready for me when I came down. The hospital happened to be Utah Valley Hospital in Provo is where we ended up going back to, that she had made arrangements for. And we went in and we did all the normal stuff. I was put into a gown and put on a table, and they started wheeling me into the emergency room. And I remember it so vividly is that I said goodbye to my wife. And I forgot to tell her that I loved her. And something that even to this day I regret, because I love my wife. We've been married 47 years and we learned to like each other, which is really kind of fun. Well, after going by her on the table, they took me into the operating room. Now, the operating room was just like any other operating room. It wheeled me on a table and he had another table sitting beside me. And I put my arm up on the table to where the doctor could operate on me. Everything seemed to be going just fine. I thought everything was great, and in fact, I even thanked the doctor for letting me get in as quick as he did, because I knew something was wrong. Well, he put a sheet between me and him so he could just operate on it and I wouldn't see what was going on. And the anesthesiologist that was supposed to come in and give me the medicine was called away on another emergency, and I don't know what the emergency was, but he was called away. I don't know if any of you know what a bear block is. A bear block, if you don't know, is a tourniquet that they put on you that is made with air, and they blow it up and tighten down on your arm. And then it has two valves, and the valves are put on there to release pressure when it gets too much on the body. Well, the nurse didn't know how to do a bear block, but the doctor said that I'll talk you through it. And she says, well, if you talk me through it, I should be able to do it okay. It's a procedure that's not used, in fact, hardly at all now, but it was a common practice back then when the anesthesiologist couldn't get to where the patients were. Well, as the procedure started, I felt pressure on my arm. And when I felt the pressure, I asked the nurse, because what they had done is they did a local. So I could hear and see, other than through the screen, everything that was going on. But when they put the local in me, what it did is it kind of numbed everything down in this area so that the doctor could work on me. And I remember them talking about cut me open. They cut me from right here to right down here. And I knew what I could hear what they were talking about. And the pressure started getting bad, so the nurse undid one of the valves. which was what she was supposed to do. But when the pressure came on the second time, rather than closing the first valve and then opening the second, she opened the second one and didn't close the first. And I felt a sensation go up my arm, across my chest, and into my heart. And I felt my body leaving my body. I felt myself leaving my body there on the table. And the next thing I knew, I was standing on the other side of the sheet, watching the operation with someone else. I wasn't able to look at them. I was instructed to just keep my eyes forward, and I watched the operation. I heard the nurse go running out of the operating room saying that she'd killed me. It was a different feeling because I was sitting up watching it, but yet I could see my body laying down on the table and I could watch the doctor operating on me. I watched him take a tendon out of my arm, wrap it around my thumb. I watched him put a pin in my thumb. And what was odd is the pin was a little bit too long, so he had to adjust the pin because it was protruding through my skin. I watched him put stitches in my arm. And then something else happened. After that, I was told it was time to go. There was no question that it was time to go. My escort, and you know, many people say we all have guardian angels. I believe that he was my guardian angel. I knew that voice, but I couldn't see him and recognize who that person was. Before I knew it, let me back up just a little bit, just a little bit. What people don't really understand is I saw people trying to work on me. People were in the room and they were trying to bring me back. It wasn't as if the doctor just kept on working and just ignored what was going on. There were people that were trying to revive me as he was trying to finish his surgery on my thumb. I don't fault the doctor. I don't fault the nurse. I've never had ill feelings about them. But when it was time for me to go, I went to a place that was unbelievable. I was standing in a field. You know, imagine yourself standing in a field by yourself and just looking with no noise, no sound, and nothing like that, but in the most beautiful place that you could ever go. And feel love. Now I felt my escort right back here behind me, but I couldn't see him. But what he did say is he instructed me to never look back. And I'll never forget that because it's something that has stayed with me my whole life, is to never look back. To always look towards the future. Well, standing in this field, I was standing in grass that was up about my waist. And it was the most unusual grass because I always envision grass with wind, it blows. But this grass was flowing. It was the most calming feeling that I have ever experienced in my life. And I'll never forget it because it was such a calming feeling. And with a calming feeling, you feel peace. And I felt that peace and something that I strive for every single day is to feel that peace. Well, like anyone, you look around and I started to look around to see what was going on. And to my left, I saw trees. The trees were the most unusual trees that I have ever seen. And it's the only time I've seen trees similar to that is when I went up to the Olympia Forest up in the rainforest area up in by Forks, Washington. If you've ever been there, these trees have great big trunks, and they're tall. They're similar to what the redwoods look like. They're just real tall trees. And what I observed was there was no branches on those trees. As I looked at them, I thought, man, these are really unusual looking trees. I've never seen anything like this. But what they did have is they had leaves up on the top. And something that I noticed right away was the color of those leaves. I don't know if you've ever looked at a high definition TV where colors are magnified. Those are the colors that I saw on that tree. And it was green, but it was a beautiful green. It was magnified by probably, I don't know, 10 times from what we see here. We see everything in 3D here, but the colors were just unbelievable. In fact, it's hard to describe other than to tell you it was something I'd never seen before. Now, also to the left and to the right of the tree, left of me and the right of the trees was wildflowers. And I have never seen wildflowers that was as beautiful as those flowers were. I'm a gardener and I love gardening. But to see these flowers, they'd had to have been flowers from all over the earth, because I have never seen these kinds of wildflowers before. And again, the colors were magnified. And so what I felt was love from these flowers. They gave that feeling of love to me. And it was like they welcomed me to that location to look at those beautiful flowers. Now, in front of me, directly in front of me, there was a cloud. And that's the easiest way I can say it, is there was a cloud. Now, this cloud was something brighter than I've ever seen before. The only thing that's been close to that that I've seen is, if you've ever seen a pearl white color, it's brighter than a flat white color. And it was really beautiful. The cloud was right in front of me. But to the right of me and in front of me was those flowing grass fields. And it was so calming. It gave me so much peace that I do everything today to try to emulate what that feeling was, because it was something that is unbelievable. Now, what happened next was I felt that person behind me not there anymore. And it was obvious he was gone. And I was there by myself. I don't know if you've ever been in somewhere in a field or up in the mountains and you've been by yourself. It's a different feeling. It's a very calming feeling. And you think of, when you look at nature, when you're out there by yourself, you start to see things that you wouldn't normally see. You pick out different trees, you pick out different branches. And I felt myself doing that when I was in this holding area. Then what happened next was I watched my life before my eyes. I watched a video of my life from the day I was born until I was 28 years old. Now, when I tell you I watched it, I lived it. It was an unusual thing, because I watched, it was an action where I actually lived what I saw for my life. You know, there's a lot of gray areas that are in our lives. But what happened during that time is it was black and white. It was good and bad. And I watched a video of my life, and some things were good, some things weren't so good. And I watched myself with my wife. I watched myself with my three kids at the time. We have four now. I watched myself with my parents as they were raising me and taking me to places all the time for my sports. And I watched very close how I treated people. Some things, like I said, I was proud of. Some things I wasn't very proud of. I realized when I was watching that video that where I was working so hard and trying to get ahead that I wasn't as kind to people as I should have been. After it was over, the video was over, I started to realize that I didn't treat my wife as well as I should have. I didn't treat my kids as well as I should have. Something at the time that I wasn't very proud of. I was so selfish in growing up with playing sports that it was all about me. And I hope that if you can take away anything from what I've said is pay attention to who you're around. Because you're going to watch that someday. And you're going to, hopefully, you're going to have a better report than I did. And I'll never forget the stuff that I saw. After it was over, I sat there for a few minutes, and there was nobody to argue with. There was nobody to explain why I did what I did. What happened was what it was. It was real. There was no gray. It was black. It was white. And I accepted it. And when I accepted it, it was done with love. And it gave me so much peace because I had accepted what had actually happened to me. And what that did to change my life, I'll explain a little bit later. But what it did do is I was instructed to walk forward. Now the person that was talking to me to walk forward was not the same person that was with me. It was two different people. And I was instructed to walk forward. Now picture this in your mind. It was a long ways to the left, I could see. A long ways to the right, I could see. I was instructed not to look back, but it was a very narrow area because it didn't take me very long to walk up to that cloud. And when I was instructed to walk up to the cloud, I knew I was dead. I knew I was not going back because I was instructed not to look back. But that I knew that something else was going to happen, that there was something else that I was going to experience. But yet I didn't know what it was. Going back to when I was 28 years old, I wasn't very religious. I was invincible. I felt like I was invincible. I could do anything and I was going to succeed at doing whatever I put my mind to. But that what that did is I stood up and started walking towards the cloud, and the closer I got, an arm started coming through the cloud. And I only saw this much of that arm. And I remember that arm as if it was today. I looked at it and I looked at his arm, his forearms here. And I remember seeing how strong it was. And the first thing that came to my mind was either he was a farmer, he worked in construction, but this person had strong arms. And then as I got a little closer, I looked at his hand that was just reaching out, and his fingers were bigger than mine. And I'm not a small man. I weigh 245 and I'm 6'3", but his hands were strong and they were bigger than mine. And I remember studying that, and I don't know why. There's no explanation why I studied it, but I did. And then I reached for the arm, as many of us would do if somebody was reaching for your arm. And the arm pulled back. And then I heard the voice say, "It is not yet your time. You have more things yet to do." And that was word for word, and that stuck with me my whole life. I live with this every day. I see it every day. I watch what happened to me every day. I review what that video of my life every day. What it did for me is humbled me. It humbled me more than my mother tried to do to me my whole growing up years, and more than my wife humbled me through the years. We were having struggles at the time, my wife and I, because I was out of town so much. What that video did to me was made me realize that it was a gift for me to have my wife in my life. And it was a gift for me to have my children in my life. Now, the next thing that happened was I went back to my body. I went back fighting. The doctor said I was all over the table. And he asked me in days after what was going on in my body. And I told him I didn't want to come back. I never felt peace like that in my life. And I did not want to come back. Now, when the doctor wheeled me out into the hallway, he was wheeling me down the hall, and my wife was out sitting in the hallway waiting for me to come out of surgery, and she didn't know anything that was going on while I was in surgery. But what I noticed as he was wheeling me out is there was a paper on my chest, and on my chest was a death certificate saying that I had been pronounced dead for 20 minutes. Well, when we was wheeled up by my wife, the doctor went over to her real fast and said, "He's okay. Everything went okay. He's back." And I guess it really freaked my wife out. And I can understand why it would, me too, if I was in the opposite end of the spectrum. For 3 days after I was in the hospital, in the room, I felt total peace. That peace is pure. I wish I could explain how pure it was. And it was so pure that the love was wrapped around me, saying that everything was going to be okay. Days after that, a reporter from the television station came to me to do a story on me because he had heard that I'd had an experience. Many of you know who he is. He's retired now, but he was a reporter. I couldn't do it. I could not talk to him. about that experience because it was so pure and so sacred to me that I could not talk about it. Now, to this day, my wife knows the story because we've talked about it. My kids know parts and pieces of the story. But it wasn't until a year ago when I actually came out and told the story that my kids really understood what I was talking about. Once again, I live this every day. It's been 40 years ago. I'm 68 years old. It happened when I was 28 years old. When I told the story for the first time to the friend of mine that put it on a YouTube channel, it was almost like something that had lifted off my shoulders. If it wouldn't have been for the fact that we were having so much trouble with COVID in this world right now, I don't think I would have talked about it. I think I would have taken this story and this experience to the grave. I've had so many experiences talking to people around the world. The response from people around the world has been unbelievable. There is so many kind people in all corners of this world. They've asked me questions and I answer it the best I know how. But I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. You can ask my wife that. I work on this every single day. Something that I have done every day since then is I get up every morning. I write down three things that I would like to do for that day. And maybe I don't get all three of them done that day. Maybe I don't get it done all in 1 week, or maybe even 2 weeks. But I try to identify things such as being kind to people. And how do people want to be treated? Well, I think good. I think they want to be treated with respect. And what it did teach me by watching that video is people have feelings, they care. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good people out there. Talking to people from South Africa and China and Malaysia and London and all over Canada and in the United States, it's been a joy to talk to people about it. It's surprising how many people that have kept their experiences inside themselves and have been afraid to talk to people about it. Like I said, I never thought I'd be standing up here right now. I never ever expected that there was over 14 million viewers looking at my video. I thought maybe my kids might watch it. Maybe my mom, if she liked me that day, she might watch it. But I never, ever in my wildest dreams ever thought that there would be so many people that would view this video and want to ask me questions. One thing I committed to when I started this was I wanted to respond to people. If I could help them, only one person, I felt like my experience helping one person would make my life complete. We as people, I think in our hearts, we want to be good people. We want to be. I want to be. And I would encourage all of you want to be. Take a look around here. You know, I didn't expect this many people to be here tonight. You're here, and each one of you probably have a question in your heart. What's going to happen next? I was fortunate. I don't know if I was or not, because it was so beautiful. Being so selfish, I didn't want to come back. But now, in this last year, I feel like maybe, just maybe, God saved me for this time to maybe open up and maybe give some people some hope. I've talked to several people that have lost a mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, or uncle, or aunt. And they say, what's going to happen to them? Where are they going? And it's not only Christians, and I am a Christian. I've talked to Muslims. I've talked to people that are Hindus. The other night, I had a reporter contact me from Hungary in Budapest. They did a story on the video, and they wanted to ask questions so that they could respond back to their viewers. Well, I don't have the answers. I'm nothing special. I'm just myself. But what I can do is offer comfort. And I would hope that I'll be able to continue to offer that comfort to people. There's a lot of people out there that are on hospice that I've talked to. People that are only expected to live for 6 months, and they wonder what's going to happen to them. Where are they going to go? What can they expect? About a year ago, my mother-in-law passed away. The lady that I love very much. Her and her husband, Joe Warner, Joe and Madge Warner, were great examples to me. Joe took me under his wing when we first got married, because my parents are divorced and I come from a broken family. He took me under his wing and taught me some very valuable things in my life. How to be kind to people, how to treat people. And it's something that stuck with me even more so since my experience, but it stuck with me my whole life. Some people have asked, did I have any gifts that were given to me after this experience? Yes, I received a few gifts. And it's gifts that, like I said, are very sacred to me. I had the ability to look at color and taste it. Have you ever looked at blue or reds or purples or yellows and tried to taste it? I'm able to do that. It's a gift that was given to me, and I know that it was a gift. I can look at food and taste it before I put it in my mouth. It's something that is unusual, sounds crazy, but it's real in my life. I have the ability to take a seed, and you know how small seeds are. You put it in your hand before you put it in the ground. I can take that seed and look at it, and I can watch it sprout. I can watch the stems grow. I can see the leaves coming out on it. I can watch the flowers blooming in it. And I can actually taste that fruit or that vegetable in my hand. Why I have that, I don't know. I don't know why that is something that I'm able to do. But it's real, and I accept it, and I appreciate that gift. my life has had several different paths. Another gift that was given to me is when I go to funerals, I see people there. I can look up in the same location every single funeral that I go to and see the person standing there. And they know I'm there. They look at me and acknowledge that I'm in the room with them. Why this happens, I don't know. Something else that happens is people will come to me that have passed away at times and give me a message to give to people. Those are comforting messages, which are very calming to me. And these are people that I have to look up and find and give them that message from the one that gave it to me. Something else that happened was I dream different. You know, my kids tell me they dream fantasy, they dream fear, they dream really crazy dreams that just don't make any sense. Since the day of my experience, I dream instructional dreams. I don't dream fantasy dreams. I don't dream hardly at all, except for when I get instruction to do something. And what I mean by that is they're warnings. They're warnings of things that are going to come. Now, those instructional dreams are for me. It's something that is a gift, I feel like, to me, because if I go somewhere and I remember that dream, I'll know to avoid that area. And I've avoided so many accidents because of the instructional dreams that I've received. Those instructional dreams also have helped me with my family, with my wife and what she's feeling. By the way, she is not here tonight. She wanted to be here. She is in southern Utah with her sister. She just had a knee replacement, and so she's helping her. And ironically, she's getting a knee replacement next month. So she went down to learn a little bit about what was to come. I love my wife. I'm very fortunate to have a woman that loves me and that I'm able to love her and do things with. I've been retired since 2005. I was fortunate. I was able to retire at a fairly young age. We love to travel. We love to be together. We spend a lot of our summers in our RV, generally up at property that our kids have, up at Lava Hot Springs. What it does for me is it gives me calmness when we go up to that property. It gives me a chance to reflect on my family and where I am in my life and what are we doing here. I know we came from somewhere. We'd had to have. I believe that we're here on earth right now to learn lessons. Now, everyone's lesson is different. We all go through pain here, but there's lessons to be learned. Another thing that was given to me as a gift was I feel very little pain. What I mean by that is I've learned over the years to clear the mechanism. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a way of blocking pain. When I was, I'll start to close it down. I didn't realize I'd been talking that long. I'm sorry. I'll say this last little bit and then be done. When I go to the dentist, for instance, they don't give me any medicine. I have learned how to block pain, and I take myself somewhere else. It was a gift that was given to me to leave and go somewhere else while I was being worked on by the dentist. I feel like that was a gift, because on this earth, we feel pain. And I have never felt anxiety in my life since I was 28, except for once. And I think what happened was I was reminded of the anxiety that people have here. And I didn't like the feeling, but I appreciated the fact that I was able to feel that. Last of all, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for listening to my story. And if you want to know more about what happened, there was two videos that were done. One was a follow-up to the first one. The second one kind of explains a little bit better what happened medically and why it was done. But please be kind to others. That's all I can say is be kind to others. Thank you.
We have enough time, maybe 5-7 minutes for questions. If you do have a question for our guest, please ask it simply and direct it to him. Don't talk about your own experience or something else. This is an evening for our guests. So if you do have a question, you can direct it to them. And I'll ask you to either restate the question so that people who are on the internet can hear it, or else I can do that however you want to do it.
You do that part of it.
Okay.
You're an announcer.
I'll give it my best shot. Oh, okay, let's go ahead and stand there. Maybe stand back just an extra.
Okay.
What?
Yes. Okay.
Question.
Every time that I've come to a session that I greatly appreciate, I've always wondered one last thing. And first of all, let me thank you for being here to share this in a very meaningful way. Sometimes I know that's hard. You don't know how good or bad that can be. But my question is, before you came back, you did not want to, and I understand that. Were you given any direction or instruction before you left to come back?
Okay. The question is, before he came back, was our guest given any instructions or directions?
I didn't have that opportunity. That choice was made for me. I didn't want to come back, just being honest. But before I knew it, I came back into my body.
Go ahead.
About 10 years ago, I had a pulmonary embolism. Well, I wasn't concerned about the whole thing. Just if anything happens, it happens. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous, but the whole thing, whatever happens, happens.
Thank you. Did you have a specific question?
No, just one? No.
Thank you. Okay.
What is the title of your video on YouTube?
Go ahead and tell me.
The question is, how does someone find Scott's video on YouTube?
Well, if you go to Scott Drummond, you'll be able to find the video. You may find more, just more than the two, because I've done several podcasts. Next week, they're going to be doing a documentary on me. A filmmaker from France is coming in. And so I'll be doing a video on that. And then the following week, I will be on Near Death TV. Next question. Yes.
For clarifying, in your entire experience, you did not really encounter anyone else other than the person that accompanied you there in the arm. And there was no deep experience or encounter any other people.
The question was, other than the guide behind him and the arm that reached out, did you encounter any other people?
No, I did not. The person that took me to the field was not the same person that talked when I got to the cloud.
Someone from our internet audience asks, do you have any sense for whose arm it was that was extended out to you? You knew that was coming.
Thank you for the question. You know, it's taken me a long time to think about this. Now, I'm a Christian, and I believe it was Jesus Christ. Only from what I've read from the Bible and from various scriptures, I believe that arm was Jesus Christ. And he was welcoming me into, I guess, his kingdom.
Another internet viewer asks if you, during your experience, learned anything about the future. If not.
You know, I felt like my experience was for me. I don't have any answers of when the earth is going to fall apart. I don't know what's going to happen to our president. All I was taught was to do the best I can while I'm here.
Go ahead.
Did that experience cause you to feel more charitable, more kind, more loving to strangers?
The question was, did your experience cause you to be more kind and charitable to others?
Something that I learned after that was to be more mindful of what was going on around me. I learned something through this experience that has helped me a lot, and that is, if we all soften our minds, we will be more in tune with the things that are going on around us. Am I more charitable? Yes. Something that has helped me a lot is I can't read your mind, but I've learned how to read your spirit. And it's very easy to run into people that are good. You know, not everyone is out there to hurt you. So what it did do is help me to be kinder to people. You know, we all make mistakes. All of us do. We're all human. What it did teach me is, don't look back Don't look back and beat yourself up for all the things that you've done in your life. Today, and today forward, look at what you can do to improve your life. That's the best advice I can give you, is just look forward to what you have in your life. We are here to enjoy it. There's no question we're here to enjoy this life.
When you came back, did you quit going out of town so much? Did you have to quit your job?
That was great. The question is, when you came back, did you stop going out of town so much?
Good question. I was working for the government at the time. After that experience happened, I did do some traveling. But what I did not do was, I didn't take the job in Washington, D.C. I didn't take the job in San Mateo, California. I didn't take the job in Houston. I didn't take the job in Memphis. I didn't take the job in Chicago. What I did do is I kept my family base, and I learned to get to know my family. I ended up going to a small office. I got away from the many, many hundreds of thousands of people that I was over and went to a smaller office so that I could get to know my family better.
With that, we are out of time. I'd like to invite everyone to join us again next month on the fourth Friday, which happens to be the day after Thanksgiving. Black Friday, but we still have that evening. So if you're interested in joining us, please do. And I'd like to thank Scott so much for being our guest tonight. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you here tonight. Give him a round of applause. Thanks so much.